Good morning.
Well, good morning, Faye. How are you?
Well, I'm getting used to this cold weather.
the change of seasons is here.
It finally got here. I mean, last week was 100 degrees every day, oh. You know, 95 to 100. We had the bounce house out this week for one last fling with the water. And now then, it's in the 40s in the mornings. I mean, it dropped quickly.
Yeah. I mean, I remember it was like, what, 10 minutes ago, you were talking about how hot it is. And, oh, my gosh, you know, there's no water, and it's so hot, and this heat wave is just never going to end. And now all of a sudden, it's like a flip of a switch. And I was like, boom. Now it's just like, you're welcome to fall. Here we
are. That's right. I mean, it happened quickly. It really did. You get up in the morning and you don't know that you're going to have a jacket.
Yeah.
And you go out and you say, uh-oh, I'm going back in, got to get a jacket. Got to turn up the heat on the car, folks.
Yeah.
I mean, when it changed very rapidly.
Yeah. It's the kind of thing where, you know, dogs don't even want to go outside. It's so cold.
No, they don't. They just say, thank you, no thank you.
Yeah.
Run back in.
Yeah, I'm out. I mean, gosh, what Halloween is what? Less than 2 weeks away. And so it's like, I don't know what's happened to this year. It just seems like it's just flown by. And all
it
of a
is.
Sudden.
It's flying every day. I've talked to a lot of people, and they cannot believe, you know, here we are in October. I can't either.
Yeah.
Something happened over the summer, and it just speeded up.
Yeah.
And we lost a lot of time, apparently, because, like you say, 2 weeks from now, it'll be Halloween, and it always gets cold just before Halloween, as you know.
Yeah, I know.
Just before trick-or-treating, it gets real cold.
Yeah, it seems like every year we talk about how warm it is, and then all of a sudden it gets really, really cold, and then all of a sudden we're talking about how, you know, kids, when they have all these costumes and stuff, now all of a sudden they have to put on a coat over them, and they can't, you know, their costume is like underneath something, and it's not quite as much fun. But boy, it's like it seems like it was just Memorial Day like last week, and it's the holidays is right upon us. It's weird.
I know. The holidays are coming fast.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm sure people's holiday shopping is probably going to sneak up on them. And it's going to be one of those things where December 24th is going to come and hit us. And it's going to be, wait a minute, I'm not ready. What happened? Kind of like it always does. But this year seems like it might sneak up even more. I don't know.
That's right. And then all these stores are changing all this stuff. I mean, you know, I don't know. They had all these different kinds of checkouts, and they're changing them, and I don't know if people are ready for all these changes.
I don't know. Checkout? What do you mean, like checkouts?
Okay, they're no longer taking checks at Target, several other places. Then you've got this new digital store going in, and I don't understand it. I wish them luck. I hope it works. It's a Walmart store. It's going all digital.
Really?
So I don't understand how that's going to work, but I hope Walmart does.
Wow. Is it like to, I guess, maybe to combat theft or?
They say it will combat theft. There will be no checkouts.
Wow.
So how do you do it if it's digital?
I don't know how that works. Well, I mean, you know, they even did something, it's not exactly the same, but it's kind of similar with, you know, you've seen the McDonald's, or at least heard of the McDonald's, that where there's like no dining area. You can't go inside. It's just strictly a drive in or walk up. You get your food and then you leave. And it's a very small crew. You don't have, you know, the same amount of staff to maintain it. You don't have the same amount of, I guess, real estate to take care of. And so, I don't know. There's the shopping experience seems like it's been changing over the last couple of years, you know, with COVID and all that happened. And, you know, retailers going out, malls kind of shutting down, stores, you know, losing brick and mortar. And now, you know, we're moving to, you know, like people-less stores and checkouts going away and dining areas going away. And I don't, it just seems like cutbacks all over the place. I don't know how this is going to affect like shopping and retail altogether as a whole. It's weird. It's a different.
Well, and you know, the Container Store, and I mentioned this to you before, a staple in Dallas, Texas.
Yeah.
And they opened stores, you know, all over Texas. But it was a mom and pop company. A great idea. They've made a lot of money, And then the other day, They had to be bailed out. The Container Store, of
really?
All people, another big company came in and said, we'll give you like $100 million or whatever and boost you back up and get you out of the bind you're in.
Gosh, they've been around forever, haven't they?
They've been around forever. A very down-to-earth couple that started, made millions in it, kept it going all these years. I don't know if it went public or not, but anyway, they went under. So another company, I think the company that bought Bed Bath & Beyond, that company came in and said, we'll bail you out. You're a great company, and we'll help you.
Wow. That shocks me, too.
It was very shocking to me because it was just a great company, always made money, never, I don't think even owed any money for years, you know, because it was so successful. I mean, the idea was great.
Yeah.
You know, it was like Tuesday morning, if you remember Tuesday morning.
Oh, you used to love Tuesday morning.
Everybody loved Tuesday morning, and it went under during the pandemic.
Golly.
I mean, it's just... retail has just turned around and turned around twice.
What's happened? So, is it just too expensive for like property?
People are just not. I don't think people are buying like they used to. I think after COVID, I think everybody just settled in. They buy it online. They don't go to a real store. That's what I think happened.
You know, and delivery, I would imagine, probably, you know, like Amazon and all that would probably have gone through the roof. But then you said a couple of weeks ago that even, you know, because COVID, you couldn't go to a store and everything was delivered. Didn't you say a couple of weeks ago that Swans or Yellow or whatever it is now?
Yes, they have gone under. They're closing on November 16th for good.
Wow.
You know, the people that bought it were, foreign. They didn't understand, I don't think. I believe they were Korean. I believe it was Korean that bought it. And I don't think they understood the American way of doing business. Huh. You know, they messed everything up. They changed the name from Swans to Yellow. I mean, and then they closed down. If I couldn't get an order through, I could call them on the phone, and they'd take the order right there. They'd say, oh, that's no problem. I can do it for you. If your computer wouldn't do it that day. And then they closed all that. You could no longer get them on the phone. It was you had to go on your computer. If that didn't work, you're out of luck. And they didn't understand the American way of retail. I just don't think they understood it. And what is it, 2 years and they went broke?
Yeah.
Didn't take them long to ruin everything that Schwann's had done for 64 years.
Wow. That was a fast decline.
It was a fast decline. They were foreign. They didn't understand our ways. They changed everything immediately, and when they did, it went under.
I'm shocked at what's happening to not only the buying experience, but with what's happening with, you know, these big huge companies either going under or having to completely revamp. Some of them, you know, filing Chapter 11 and then reforming and then coming back out. Didn't Pier 1, Bed Bath & Beyond folded and then came back as an online-only company, right? Is it them?
Yes, a company bought it out of bankruptcy and changed it to online. I've never heard a word whether it's even successful, but they have money.
Wow.
So, you know, I mean... And look at all the fast food restaurants that have went under.
Oh,
They're closing them so fast, it's ridiculous. And they're closing like, you know, 30 here, 40 there. Fast food business, you know, had been bought up by a lot of big Wall Street companies. They did not know how to run them. So they ran those into the ground.
Wow. What's happening? Is it bad business decisions or is it?
I think so. I think it's really bad business decisions. It didn't take long.
No.
You know, a lot of these companies they bought, look at 7-Eleven. It's worth billions and billions. You know, the Japanese bought it years ago and they're closing a bunch of 7-Elevens.
Are they really?
Yeah, I think they're going to close 47-Elevens.
No, I didn't. Oh,
that's
I didn't
hard
hear
to believe.
That.
And a company came in and tried to buy them the other day for billions of dollars. And, of course, they rejected that.
Wow.
But some of them are unperforming now, they say. So the unperforming ones, there's 40 of them, they're closing.
I'm shocked.
I can't imagine a 7-Eleven ever closing.
I know it. It's like I remember a time when there was one on every corner and you'd have to go in and there was, you know, at any time of day, there was, you know, several people inside. I didn't know that in trouble.
It's one of the most successful chains in America.
Yeah.
You know? And two brothers from Dallas started 7-Eleven.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yes. They started 7-Eleven years ago, and then when it got really, really profitable, you know, they sold it to the Japanese, and so they've owned it, what, 10 years, 15 years? And now a bigger company offered billions for it the other day, and they turned it down.
I'm just shocked at what's happening. I mean, it's like the whole landscape of everything is changing. It's like, you know, you go to the store. I don't know if you've seen this or not, but sometimes, you know, you order like groceries on an app from a store or something like that, and you go to pick them up, and then you get a notice that we're out of this, we're out of that, we're out of this. It's just, it seems to be, it seems like the whole shopping thing, the whole retail as a whole has changed.
100%.
Yes.
It's not like what you and I used to know.
No.
It's not like the friendly guys over at the grocery store call and say, oh, by the way, Zach, we don't have this today. What can I give you instead? You're not going to get a call from anybody.
No.
It's just they'll send you a little message, and if there's anything you don't like that we've substituted, let us know.
Yeah.
Click once for yes and two for no. And, you know, and it's going to go from there. You're not going to talk to real people. They don't want to talk to us. Have you noticed? Everybody now wants you to text them. They do not want to talk to you.
Oh, yes.
They want a text from you. They do not want a verbal conversation.
No, they don't.
That's out. They're not going to have any contact with you and me.
I saw something the other day, and I can't remember what it was, and I only saw it once. But now that you say that, there was some commercial for something that said something about one of their big selling points in the ad, and this was on TV. It was something about you don't even have to talk to a real person. It's like that. It's not a selling point. It's like,
that's
what?
A selling point. You don't have to deal with any people. You know, just the machine will say yes or click once for no and go on about your business.
Yeah. Wow.
Let me tell you, the other day I ran out of checks. And, you always just call up the bank and say, you know, I need to send somebody by to pick up, you know, a few checks.
Yeah.
And I could not call the local branch. When these people answered, they were a call center. You cannot call your local branch and talk to a real person. No real people are allowed.
Oh, wow.
It was so bad, I gave up. I mean, you know, I just said, well, I can't do it, you know.
Wow.
You can't talk to a real person at your branch bank.
Wow.
They don't. They no longer answer their phones. It's a call center. So how do you ever get anything done at the bank?
I don't know. How do they?
I don't know. And they're closing every branch they can get by with.
Wow.
It talked about all these banks, how many branches are closing. They don't want real mortar banks. And one of the banks out here, they tore it down. They tore the bank down.
Really?
They've been there for 20 years.
Oh, my God.
It serves the local community so good. You knew your banker there. You knew the vice president. You knew everybody at the bank, the manager, assistant manager. You could go in there and get anything done you needed. And then they closed it, tore it down. That's gone. You don't have to deal with people there.
Wow.
So now you have to drive down the street about a mile, and there's a bank. But the drive-in is not the regular drive-in like you and I know.
Really?
I couldn't even figure it out. I could not figure it out.
So they made it
complicated. I don't know what it was. I couldn't do it. It didn't have the normal place where they say, send the little deal back in and we'll give you your money.
Oh, my.
There was, you couldn't talk to anybody. You couldn't do anything. I don't know what it was. I gave up. I said, well, I can't operate this. This is too much. Oh, my gosh.
So,
yeah. you couldn't correspond with the people inside.
Really?
It was not that kind of a drive-thru.
What,
no.
What kind of a drive-thru was it?
I don't know. I couldn't figure it out.
Oh.
There was no place for anything. And I just drove home. Well, so much for that.
Maybe that was the point. They put it in to make it look cool, and then it's really not, and they make you drive off. They don't have to deal with anybody. Maybe
that's right. They didn't want to deal with me. I mean, there was no way you couldn't talk to them. Didn't have an intercom. Didn't have anything.
So the drive-thru was just nothing more than a prop.
I think it was a prop because there wasn't. You couldn't talk to anybody.
Oh, geez. Oh, wow. Oh, how times are changing.
If you can't make a deposit, what good is a drive-thru?
Yeah, exactly. That's the whole point of the drive-thru. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, it doesn't work. So I don't know what it was built for, and I didn't understand it. And I just said, I don't want to come back here.
No, I'm out. Wow.
Yeah.
This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
You know, we tell these stories and we talk about these things and we make these observations. But when you kind of look back at it as a whole, I mean, some of it's funny and neat and entertaining and all that. But what does this actually mean? I mean, are we entering a new phase of how
this
we
is
live
a new
our lives?
Generation, a new deal? All these experts are going to get it down where there's no brick and mortar of any kind.
Jeez.
I mean, I think you'll find that everything, if it isn't online, it doesn't exist.
Yeah. I mean, is it just to save, like, overhead costs for...
Yes, I think so. J.P. Morgan said they're closing a lot of branches.
Really?
Lots and lots. Yes.
Oh, wow.
You're going to save all this money.
Oh, my gosh. I didn't hear that one. Oh, that's kind of...
Yeah, I forget how many branches J.P. Morgan said they were going to close. They said they don't need them. They could do without them.
Wow.
So they're going to make more money because they're going to have less employees, less services. You have to do it online or not at all. And in these little towns, I don't know what they'll do. You know?
Jeez.
It's going to be a struggle, I think.
So will this affect, I mean, when you have stores, like retail stores, how does this affect like mom and pop stores, like family-owned businesses? Does it favor them, or is the fact that you can't go to, you know, like a big retailer anymore, does it force people to kind of go visit the mom and pops, or does it force people?
In a small town, yes, it would. You would go to your local people and do business with them. But they're also going to put the local people out. You remember when Walmart came in and put all these small retailers out of business years ago?
Yeah.
You know, they had the local hardware store. They had all the local grocery stores. Walmart came in, put the local hardware store out. They put the local grocery store out. True Value Hardware went under.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that just happened. And they sold themselves to another hardware company. And they've been in business, what, 60 years?
Yeah. God.
I remember when True Value came in and they franchised, you know, all these hardware stores all over the country. And it was slow starting. I remember some of them had to move the locations. The first locations didn't even work. And they built it on service. Everything was really good service there, you know. They helped you with your paint. They helped you with your wallpaper. Everything you needed in the hardware department. They had experts in there to help you. And now, you know, even they went under.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened after all these years. But as they went into bankruptcy, they protected all the franchise holders by selling, had an agreement with another hardware company that's been in business even longer than them. That will take care of all the servicing of their dealers, which was really good.
Wow. You know,
but I couldn't believe they went under after all these years because they struggled to start with. It was a struggle.
Yeah.
And they kept on and kept on, and they made it work, made it profitable. And then, you know, again, I don't know what happened. They went under, but they arranged it where it would not hurt the franchise owners.
Wow. I'm kind of, you know, you see these stores, and I know it's not exactly the same, but it seems like, you know, like with, when you have like the Walmarts and, you know, all these big chains that come in, it almost seems like, even though like Ace Hardware is still a chain, it seems like it was like one of those that is almost like prime for some kind of either a conglomeration or to be sold or to, you know, to go out of business, or, you know, even stores like that, it seems like they are not immune from, you know, potential closing. It's just these big names that have been around forever, just like they're just like disappearing. It's weird. It's really strange.
Well, it's been a struggle. Retail is not doing well. That's all there is to it. And of course, Neiman sold out to Saks. You know, Saks came out on top. Mm. I think they were better run. You know, Neiman's has went broke twice. Neiman's and the Marcus's were alive today, they'd be turning over upside down on the sidewalk.
You know, yeah, they would.
They would be, because they created Neiman's, did such a beautiful job. It was a fabulous store. People came from Europe. They came from Paris. They came from everywhere to shop at Neiman Marcus.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Christmas catalog was a big deal. The Fortnite, the Italian Fortnite was a big, big deal. And yet, they hired these people as presidents, and they ran it right in the ground, billions of dollars down the drain.
Wow. You see, and that's where I get confused. You know, you look at this, and it's like, okay, is it bad to business decisions, or are we still feeling effects from COVID, or is it a combination of both, or is it just
that people
are... I think
it's bad management at Neiman's, really bad management.
That's
these people didn't know what they were doing. Their merchandising was all wrong. And they just, you know, ran it right in the ground, because it had been, you know, all these years, it made so much money, was a fabulous store, and then all of a sudden, you know, it couldn't pay their bills. People had to settle for so many cents on the dollar on that first go around. Then they went under the second time, and then Saks came in and said, we'd like to buy it, and they did. And even Amazon put up money with Saks to buy it.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Amazon.
Several big companies came in and helped Saks buy it.
It's like, you know, and speaking of Amazon, I saw that they had, what was it, like Prime Days or whatever it was week or two ago. Well, then we started to notice, oh my gosh, you know, Target is doing the same thing. Walmart did the same thing all at the same time. And it's just like, this is almost like you know how they all have the race for like the Black Friday specials. They used to be on just the day after Thanksgiving. Now it's like a week. And now we're doing it like a month and a half before Thanksgiving even starts. It's just like there seems to be this strange, almost like this weird competition of everybody doing the same thing at the same time. And I don't know if it's just if they sense something happening, or if they're trying to get the dollar earlier, or
they're trying to get earlier and earlier to get your money. it's a race for the money, don't you know?
Wow.
I mean, everybody is. There's only so much money out there in the marketplace. Everybody is trying to get there first and get your business.
Gosh. I mean, it's at this rate, we're going to have Black Friday specials in August.
That would be a great idea. I mean, I'd go for that.
Oh, golly. Doesn't one of them do Christmas in July? Maybe not. It seems like one of them does like Black Friday in July specials or something like that. I think that was literally a thing. I think. From what now,
well, it's
be
a good idea. You know.
Wow, it's just shocking how retail is changing right before our eyes. Remember when we used to have shoe stores and you would have a guy and then have the little metal thing and they'd like measure?
I remember that very well.
Yes, we don't have
and
those
he was
anymore.
An expert on shoes and sizes, and he would sit down on that little bench deal in front of you and try the shoes on. Yes, I remember that.
Yeah, all that's gone. Now you just get something, you know, from like you buy it online, and I guess everybody fits the same now. I don't know. It's like entire industries and sectors of service businesses are just disappearing right before our eyes. So
you know what I miss?
What?
When they filled up your car with gas.
Oh,
every
geez.
Woman hates to fill up a car.
Yes.
I mean, I'm always saying, if somebody's with him, would you like to hop out and get gas? You know, fool them. Don't say anything to the last minute. Oh, would you like to jump out and get that for me?
So that's how it's done. God. I see that.
That's how it's done. You wait to the last minute, and then you say, oh, would you mind jumping out and getting that for me?
I feel like I've been fooled all these years, and now I see the secret.
That's the secret. You wait to the last minute. And say, oh, would you mind jumping out and doing that for me?
Oh, wow.
I mean, after all, you know.
What are you going to say? No.
I said, no, you're going to do it.
Yeah. You kind of have to.
And, you know, I asked one of my granddaughters the other day. I pulled up and I said, would you like to get the gas? She said, Mimi, I don't know how. I said, you mean they've never taught you how to fill up the car with gas?
Seriously?
I mean, no, they had not taught her.
Oh, wow.
And, I said, well, later, I will teach you how to do it.
Later.
Yeah, later.
Wow. Boy, you take some of that for granted, and you don't realize that, it's...
If there's somebody that doesn't know how to do it, I thought everybody, once you were 12 to 13, you were taught how to fill up a car with gas.
Yeah. You used to be taught how to fill it up with gas, how to change the oil, how to change your tire, you know, just basic stuff like that, but... Gosh, it's gotten...
No, nobody's taught to do anything anymore.
Which might be why we're in the situation we're in, so...
That's right.
All right, so I am curious. I know that a couple weeks ago you were saying that annuities, the bonuses might be starting to go down. Have they gone down yet, or...
No,
are
they
still...
haven't. Wow. In fact, I'm really curious, and I don't understand this. The fixed rate policies... You know, the ones that are like CDs, you know, they dropped. And they came back up this week.
Really?
So a fixed annuity is still way over 5%.
Wow.
And I was checking bank rates this week, and they're down to 4-something. So annuities are still at least 1% above what your CD rate is. So they're still the best buy.
Jeez.
And remember, whatever you if you do a fixed rate, you want something like a CD, you know, it's locked in. Whatever you go in, if it's like 5.5%, whatever it is, it'll be that way for the 3 years or 5 years or whatever you do. It's locked in. It won't go back down. So that's the good thing about those type of annuities. And those for people that like a CD, but they don't want the CD rate. So they'll do an annuity. And it's locked in for 3 years or 5 years at whatever rate it is that day when you lock it in.
Hmm.
So that's one interesting fact.
That is pretty cool. Really
cool.
Yes,
it is. Now, the 13% has not went down yet. So we've still got it. I was told it was going to either go down or go away, and it hasn't. So we've still got it. You can get 13% that first year. And then every time you put money in the second, third year, for 3 years, when you put new money in, you get that 13% plus whatever it makes. And annuities are doing really well right now. And they've got the new tracking system, and I haven't got a chance to use it yet, but the new tracking system can tell you almost in real time what the annuity did a month ago, 2 months ago, whatever.
Wow.
Which
That's
is really
cool.
Neat. We don't have to wait till the end of the year to figure it out or to go backwards. This thing will give it to you in real time. So that's really going to be a great item to have in our arsenal when people ask me about annuities. Annuities are doing really good right now. And remember, annuity is never in the stock market. That's why it's safe. That's why it's great. It's compound interest. You don't pay taxes on it till you take it out. I can't think of a better investment. To me, it's the all-time great investment for anybody. You know, I've just had some people ask me, I want to leave some money for my sons. How do I do that? You do an annuity. And when they're ready for it, the annuity will start paying them, you know, 15 years, 20 years, however soon you want them to get it. So an annuity is best all around. Conservative investment. There's nothing risky about an annuity. You know, first of all, the company's been in business over 100 years. They're worth over $60 billion.
Wow.
You know, and they're owned by Texans. So you know they got to be good if they're owned by Texans. They're not owned by somebody in New York City or New Jersey. That's the good part. And it's never directly in the stock market. Never, never, never. It just mirrors the stock market. But it's got indexes. I think there's 14 choices of indexes.
Hmm.
And they have done well. Everybody's statement's going to show some really good profit. So if a person is looking for a conservative investment, it's the annuity. Now, if you're a little bit younger, life settlements are perfect. Life settlements have been around a long time. We've been around a long time. You know, we've been in business 23 years plus.
Wow.
It's a long time. Long time.
Congratulations on that. That's a big deal.
Yeah, we've been... And, you know, we've been a member of the Better Business Bureau, I think, since the second year we started.
Wow.
And we have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau. We always have. And a lot of people don't have an A-plus rating because I check on companies all the time. A lot of them are not even listed with the Better Business Bureau, much less have this kind of a rating like we have.
That's fantastic.
So, yeah. And when you do a live settlement, you're buying a policy on someone that has cancer. And right now, we're bidding on some really short ones. We're bidding on an 8-month, a 10-month, and two or three 15-month, and one 18-month. I don't know which ones we'll get, but we're bidding hard on them. We're trying to get these, get everybody's money invested. We've got people waiting to get their money invested, and so we're going to get that done just as soon as possible. And I don't have any maturities this week. You know, we had maturities 2 weeks ago and before that. But I think all the maturities are in now. We may have one out. Yeah, I believe we do have one that hadn't paid yet. But all the others have paid. And that was like $7 million payout.
Wow. Whoa, that's a big payout.
It was a big deal. One was $4 million by itself.
Good Lord.
And the others were like $1 million payouts and one half a million.
Wow, that's fantastic.
The nice thing about a life settlement, you know going in what the profit is, you know what the premium is, you know everything about the policy. We send you a smaller version of the medical. It tells you, you know, how many times they've been in the hospital, what the prognosis is, how many months they've got to live, and that it is stage four and it is incurable.
Hmm.
It gives you all that information where you can make an intelligent decision.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you think about all the possible investments that exist in the world, and there's a lot of investments that it's kind of like, I don't want to say it's a crapshoot, but it kind of is because, you know, it's just like things can affect all these other investments at any time, things that are unforeseen. There are so many variables. There's no way to actually make an informed decision the way you can with a life settlement because you have so much information. And it's all expert.
That's right. And you get it all up front. In other words, before we ask you to do anything, we send you the information. We send you the health. We send you everything you need to know. You know what kind of cancer it is. You know if it's colon cancer, if it's breast cancer, if it's rectal cancer. One that we're bidding on is rectal cancer. And, you know, it's kind of like pancreatic cancer. There is no cure for rectal cancer. It's pretty fast moving. So anyway, you know all this information. You can be informed. You can make a decision. And all you have to do is send us a note saying, yes, I want to go in that policy. Yes, I can put $50,000 in or $45,000 or, you know, whatever the amount is. Sometimes people say, Faye, I want to put $125,000 in that policy. And so knowing who it is we make a determination if they can do that or not.
Most people don't, I would imagine.
I don't know. The last policy we did, we were saying 50, 50, 50. And several people came back, no, 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 let me do 100. Let me do 100.
Really?
Let me do 100, yes.
Oh, wow.
And it was short term. And if it's that short term, we feel like it's safe for them to do it.
Yeah, well, that's true.
Especially if it's our large investors. And another thing, you must be accredited to do this. In order to be accredited, you must make $200,000 a year or you must be worth $1 million, and that's without your house. And people need to just add it up, make sure you qualify for that $200,000 or the $1 million house.
You know, I know we've said it before, but you have had several people in the past who have thought that they probably weren't accredited, just running some basic numbers in their head, and then they go ahead and actually like add up their assets. They go and, you know, pull old statements. They go and, you know, look for, you know, old 401ks, because a lot of people will miss stuff like that. Like there's maybe a 401k that they had with a past employer, or they'll forget about a piece of property someplace, or not realize that something can be included. You've had that happen before, right?
We have had that happen to several people. And then a lot of people say, I make $175,000. I say, well, what is your year-end bonus? Well, $50,000. So, you know, they forget. They get bonuses if they're in the oil business, especially at the end of the year. So you have to include your bonus. And that gives you what you need. And a lot of people forget about, like you said, they may have a Roth that they don't remember, or an IRA at a different company. And then sometimes they want to do a joint deal. Well, if you do, you must be worth $300,000. If it's you and your wife in a joint policy. But if it's just you, you know, and it's your IRA, or we're doing a Roth IRA, or a 401k that's being rolled over, you must make $200,000 a year. I'm repeating myself, or you must be worth $1 million without the home. They never allow you to use your home in Texas.
Your primary residence.
Your primary residence. If you've got a lake house, yes. If you've got rental houses, you can use those. If you've got a ranch with cattle and horses, you know, a lot of people don't do a financial statement every year. Probably haven't done one in years. And you just sit down, jot all your assets down. Or if you own salary, you know what you make and you know what your bonus is.
Yeah. Well, a lot of times I would imagine that people probably, you know, over time, you know, 5, 10, 15, 20 years, you know, they start, you know, accumulating things, whether it's, you know, property or some kind of investment, some, you know, something, I don't know what, or, you know, they buy a property or, you know, whatever it is. And they just kind of like, it kind of goes on the back burner and they think, oh, it's just, you know, part of my everyday thing. They don't stop and realize this is an actual asset and this counts. And so, you know, things change kind of like before our eyes, and we don't always realize that, you know, we have actually more assets than we think. So I would imagine that's quite common, I would guess.
And you know, and the profit, I love the profit on a life settlement. The profit is good. It's like 1% a month. If it's a 15-month policy, you're going to get at least 15. But lots of times we try to fudge it up for you because it might go over. So we're trying to get it like maybe 18 months or 24 months. We're trying to get as much profit for you as we can.
Yeah. And it's conservative profit. And that's the thing. And the other thing with the life settlement is that the insurance companies, when the policy does mature, they don't discount how much they pay out based on market conditions. It is what it is.
It's 100%. Whatever the face amount of that policy is what you're going to get. And then the nice thing is every account is at Nevada Trust. They are the trustee on everything you do. How many companies have a trustee that oversees the money? We have a trustee that oversees every dime you've got with us. We don't ever touch your money. The trustee handles it, and they verify everything. And if you want to take money out, they're going to make sure it's you. They're going to verify it. They're going to call you on the phone. Bankers don't even do that. You're on your own, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you've got to have sense enough with them to do whatever you need to do. With us, we say, be sure, always be sure. And Nevada Trust gets the death certificate. We send them all the information for the death certificate. It comes to them. The check gets there. They put it in your bank account. And then we notify you that the money's there, that it has come in, the check is there, and you know within 3 days.
That's quick.
So it's a pretty good system using a trustee.
Yeah, no doubt. And it's
I think everybody should use a trustee.
Yes, for your own protection. I mean, there's so many.
That's right. It protects us and it protects them.
Yeah.
Because the trustee is responsible for that money in your account.
I mean, I can't think of an
and
easy.
As you know, they're insured, they're bonded. We're bonded also.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're taking every precaution we can.
Yeah. It's almost like the opposite. It seems like, anyway, the opposite of like when you have like a broker on, say, Wall Street or something, who's just doing whatever, whenever, and there's not really much anybody can do. And so having a trustee actually, you know, protects you from people going rogue and doing whatever.
That's right. We don't want anybody going rogue, and that's why we've got a trustee. And they've been in business 27 years.
Oh, wow. That's a good deal. All right. So, yeah, if people are looking for conservative investments, and the other thing with really both annuities and life settlements is that, you know, no matter what kind of situation happens, in fact, you've been through this, you know, before, many times when market conditions go down, or, you know, 2008, or there's a recession, or there's a COVID, or, you know, weird things happen. Anytime you've gone through situations like that, anybody who's in a life settlement has held their value. Not only are they not losing things overnight, which many investments will, it's not affected by anything that happens. And so it is what it is. It's its own little bubble of protection. And you just, investors just go on as normal while other people and other types of things are wondering in the middle of the night if they have anything left.
Well, and that's right. And right now, you know, we've got the election coming up. Things are uncertain. Things are a little skittish. I would be invested in safety, conservative investments. I'd say, you know, why don't we get conservative? You know, we don't have anything to lose.
Yeah.
Because we know the money's safe over there with Faye. We know it's safety investment first. We know that the life insurance companies are going to pay off. Why not have our money with a life insurance company? We know we're not going to lose it. You know, we know that the principal is always safe. And you can't say that if you're, you know, if you're in the dadgum stock market, we know your money isn't safe.
Yeah.
We know it could be great and you might make $1 million. But what if it goes the other way, folks? I've never forgotten 2008. And when things get shaky, we're the ones they call. People call and say, Faye, I need to talk to you. Faye, I'd like to talk to you on the phone about this. Can my wife and I discuss this with you? Certainly.
Yeah. And a lot of times people will call you after they've already suffered some kind of a loss. You know, maybe the market crashed and all of a sudden, boom, they're down 50 grand or worse. And then they call you and then it's like, uh-oh, we need to do something before it gets much, much worse. And so people, before anything like that happens, whether it's, you know, in the next couple of weeks or the next 2 or 3 years, doesn't matter. This is a good time to be proactive, I would guess.
And the thing of it is this, it never hurts to have your money in safety.
Mm.
You know,
yeah.
You don't have to wait till we have a crash or a near crash or anything scary happening. Have your money where you know it's safe. You know, I had a couple come in the other day. I hadn't seen them in a long time. And the man said, explain what we do to my wife. I'd never met his wife. I've been dealing with him for 10 years. Never met his wife. She wanted to know how it worked. I said, you're just now inquiring? I mean, it's a little late. anyway, we explained to her his investments, how it works, how they get paid, how much money he's made, how many policies he's had, you know, that matured, and what he has right now. And, you know, lots of times after people die, the family comes to me, and this happened 2 weeks ago. They said, okay, now that mother has died, will these policies revert back to the original owner?
Ah.
I go, holy cow. I mean, he owns his part or she owns her part. Now, it will not revert back to the original owner. Original owner signed this over, you know, 2 years ago.
Yeah.
But families never understand. They don't know what the investment's like. They just know they just now inherited everything.
Yeah. Well, you know that. In all fairness, people try, but nobody explains it like you do. So,
and then they got annuities. They wanted to know about the annuities. I said, no, all of the children are not on the annuity.
Hmm.
And they all thought they were going to get some of the annuities.
Yeah.
I said, nope, it didn't work out that way.
It didn't work out that way.
But you have to tell them. because they think they've got money coming when they don't.
Yeah.
They're getting something else. They didn't get the annuities or the life settlements.
Yeah. All right. This is Your Money with Faye Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com. If you go to the website, it talks about life settlements. It talks about annuities, lots of things you should know. And if you have questions, you can go on there or give us a call either way.
Yeah. You're always there to help people answer questions that they have. It's just a phone call away.
That's right.
Every Saturday around this time, we get into trivia. So what is our topic today?
Well, it's the Gatlin brothers.
Ooh, cool.
Larry Gatlin and his brothers. Do you remember where he was born?
Oh, I want to say Texas, but I don't remember.
Yes. Seminole, Gaines County.
Ah.
Right next to the New Mexico border. His dad was an oil field worker. They lived in a lot of locations in Abilene and Odessa.
Really?
He did. I didn't know he lived in Odessa.
Me either.
And they were reared listening to country and southern gospel.
Mm.
And in childhood, his brothers Stevie and Rudy, they performed with him. They often sang at the church, along with their sister LaDonna. I'd forgotten about her. They recorded a gospel album and topped Roy Orbison in a talent scout contest. Can
really?
You believe that?
How cool.
Better than Roy Orbison, and I found that hard to believe.
Yeah.
He was a quarterback at Odessa High School.
Was he really?
Yeah, he was. He went to the University of Houston. He was a wide receiver. He caught a touchdown pass in a 1968 game, and his team scored 100 points.
Wow. Really? Oh, wow.
And later he auditioned and joined the gospel music group, the Imperos. And they went to Las Vegas in 1971, and they were on Jimmy Dean's Las Vegas Review.
Really?
Yeah, that was his first exposure. Then he was walking through the showroom. He caught Dottie West's attention. And she thought he resembled Mickey Newberry, which I don't remember Mickey Newberry. And she was impressed with his songwriting skills. And she recorded two of his compositions, one, The Other Half of Me, and Once You Were Mine. And then she said she took some of his demo tapes with her to Nashville. Then she arranged for him to relocate there by buying him a plane ticket.
Really?
He would have never made it if it hadn't been for her. And then she recorded some of his songs. One of them was Broken Lady.
Wow.
So then he gets to Nashville. He became a background singer for Kris Kristofferson.
No, really?
Yeah. Yeah, I didn't even remember that.
Me either.
And then he released his first album, Sweet Becky Walker, and Better They Are, Harder They Fall. And neither one of them did well. So then Elvis Presley re-recorded it, and of course you know how that did.
Yeah.
And then Larry Gatlin did Help Me. And then he did the song Delta Dirt. Remember that one?
Oh, yes.
And that made the top 20. And so he broke into the pop charts with Broken Lady. And he did. He got on the Hot Country Songs in 1976. It won him a Grammy for Best Country Song with Broken Lady.
Really?
Yeah. Then... his brothers Stevie and Rudy, they made their first appearance in 1976 on the Larry Gatlin with Family record, and they recorded I Don't Want to Cry, Love Is Just a Game, Statues Without Hearts, and I Wish You Were Somebody I Love.
Man.
Yeah. So then they became the Gatlin brothers, and they recorded together then the rest of the time. In October of 1979, they reached all the gold in California. You remember how big a hit that was?
Oh, yeah, it was huge.
And they reached number one on Hot Country with that. And he was named Best Male Vocalist of the Year by the Academy of Country Music, and Straight Ahead was certified gold.
Wow. Cool.
And then the next one is Take Me to Your Loving Place, and What Are We Doing Lonesome? And she used to sing on Sunday in 1982.
Man, pulling out all those old songs, it's like, wow, it's taking me right back.
I know.
Yeah.
And Denver, 1984. Then they released their third and last number one hit, Houston Means I'm One Day Closer to You. Remember that one?
Yeah, I do.
I love that one.
Oh, yeah.
And then All the Gold in California, they sang that at the second inauguration for Ronald Reagan.
Did they? I forgot about that. Did they really?
They did, and they never achieved another number one hit.
Wow. Well, they should have.
That was the last one. And then they were the first group to appear in music videos.
Were they really?
Yeah.
I didn't know
that.
And
in 1985, Gatlin wrote the song Indian Summer with Barry Gibb, and he recorded it as a duet with Roy Orbison.
Wow. Roy Orbison coming back again.
Yeah, I mean, all these old people. Oh, in 1989, they sang the Star Spangled Banner for Game 3 of the 1989 World Series at Candlestick Park.
I remember that now that you mention it. Yes. Wow.
1989. But they declined after that. They were never the big stars that they had been because everything changed.
Yeah.
In the 80s. And then along came Dwight Yoakam, Randy Travis, and it pushed them off the charts.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, and after that, they did a lot of songs. They did a lot of personal appearances, but they never had the star power that they had back in those glory days.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. Things did change in the like late 80s, the whole new.
Yeah, and you had all the new stars, a new way of singing, and they never recovered after that.
Wow. But, man, they kind of owned their time period, though, for a while.
They really did, and I loved their songs. I thought they were great. I loved to play them. I loved to hear them, and I think it's a shame, you know, that they never got another break after that.
Yeah, it kind of is. You know, it's kind of shocking, you know, because, you know, you not knowing, you know, all the things that happened, you know, leading up to this and behind the scenes and all that, you know, you just hear the songs and you buy the records or the tape at the time, you know, and you don't realize that all this wouldn't have happened if it wasn't for one little thing. I mean, like Dottie West was pretty much literally the bridge that brought them and him to, like, the mainstream. Had she not bought a plane ticket?
If Dottie West had not seen some of his tapes and loved his voice and done all that, he would have never made it.
No.
I mean, he didn't even have a plane ticket for Nashville. She got him a plane ticket, got him over there, got him exposed, and look what it did.
Yeah. I mean, golly.
And he had a beautiful voice. They said he had a beautiful tenor voice. And I remember all those songs, and I loved hearing them. And I couldn't believe they beat Roy Orbison in a contest.
I know it. You know, it's just looking back, you know, when we're in the middle of things and you don't realize, you know, how big a very small, seemingly insignificant event can change things, you know, somewhere down the road. You know, had she not been at the show, had she not, you know, seen him, had she not, you know, been interested, had she not bought him a plane ticket, you know, all these little teeny tiny things that may seem like coincidence or, you know, just a small thing. It's not like, you know, these gigantic things. This is going to change the world. It's just the little small thing. Had she not gone to the show that one night, or, you know, all these little things that seem like coincidences at the time really changed the trajectory of everything. And it's amazing how things go from one thing to another, I guess, fairly quickly like that. And it's just,
yeah, nobody would have seen their talent
or
seen his talent if it hadn't been for her. And, you know, they learned all this in church. And, you know, there's no telling how many kids, you know, went to church, sang, and became stars.
Yeah.
You know, Elvis Presley, you know, he started out singing in church.
Yeah.
And a lot of them did. Johnny Cash, you know. And that's where they got the instrument experience. learned to sing, and they later became stars.
Yeah. Yeah, and all those experiences, like you say, you know, all those little insignificant experiences brought them experience and brought them, you know, I guess practice and learning and all these things that help shape what eventually bees becomes something big. You know, you look back and it's like, oh, they did this. And it's like, well, it was a small little thing at the time, but it ended up being a major thing that shaped how things turned out. So it's,
well, and all those churches, see, most of them back then had instruments.
Yeah.
So they, you know, it wasn't just a piano, because a lot of churches, you know, had guitars. They had a lot of different things that would have really given you a better experience at learning to sing.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
It was... So I think that really helped them. And I don't know if their high school, if they participated in music there or not, but they had beautiful voices. And it really came out once he got to Nashville, and then he included his brothers, and it, you know, they really became stars.
Yeah, yeah, which was pretty cool. Most people wouldn't, you know, bring everybody else in, like in the family. They just go off and be their own star. But it was actually
That's pretty cool.
Worked out better.
But he brought them in, and they sang together all those years, had all those hits, did good. But then the music world changed. Of course, they say it changes quickly, but you know, Elvis Presley recorded some of their songs, and a lot of other people did when they were getting started.
Yeah, and that's a big deal. That'll shoot somebody's career through the moon in a hurry. So.
It really will. And when they said, you know, written by Larry Gatlin,
yeah,
you know,
that gets people's attention for sure.
But Nashville is the place to start. You know, not Hollywood, but Nashville.
Yeah, yeah. Especially for those old-time artists. From before.
That's right, for the old-time stars.
It's a different place.
A different time.
Yeah, really. This is Your Money with Fay Bagby. Your phone number is?
It's 877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.
We've already covered accreditation for life settlements, but we have not gone over the risks. What are the two risks people need to know about?
The biggest risk is it could go over. You could have to pay premium. That's why we tell you up front how much the premium is going to be. We give you all the ins and outs. The other thing is it's not liquid till it matures. It doesn't pay interest all that time. It pays interest at the end. When you get your money, you get your interest plus your principal.
Okay. Is there any risks with an annuity or?
Well, I can't see any risk really, because you know, your principal's safe. Your interest is locked in once a year. You get bonuses right now, especially. So I can't see any risk. Because you're with a strong insurance company.
Yeah.
So that takes the risk out by having a huge insurance company that's rated AA+. And I hardly ever mentioned that, but I forgot. You know, they're an A+ company. So they've been around, you know, 106 years.
Wow.
You know, it's a company that you want to do business with.
All right. It is business as usual this coming week, I assume. Yes.
We have no holidays that I know of.
Not yet. They're coming up soon. But this week, business as usual. So if somebody wants to get started, get some more information, they do need to call, make an appointment. So one last time, Fay, what is your phone number?
877-588-3330. That's 877-588-3330. Our website is AmericanFinancialMidland.com.